Right next to the pew, okay? Get up, stand next. Not Levi, I'm sorry. Luke. Stand up. There you go. Stand over there. The little wimp needs this sermon. I want to preach tonight on man being the head of the home. I'm going to be preaching mainly to men, but you boys ought to listen, see what God wants you to be. There's one thing I can't really comprehend is how a boy, a young man, can be in a church like this, say they believe in God, and say they believe the Bible, and be so sissified. Now, they think they're being manly. They think they're being cool. But they're being sissified. They're like a woman. So, you guys, if you would listen, it'll help. Girls, again, I'll be preaching to men. But if you listen, you'll see what you ought to look for in a husband. It's amazing to me what some girls look for in a husband. Of course, I always believe you get what you deserve. You do get what you deserve. Sorry, Judy. You get what you deserve. I'm convinced that's true. Sometimes somebody will be weak and they'll say, oh, look at there with this weak, you know, guy. Or I just let them be. Let them be. We deal with people. We say that person's too weak for you. You go your merry way. Go. If you were married to a good guy, you'd ruin him. So, girls, if you're serious at all, listen. I know we have rebels, real rebels, just kind of laugh at what I preach. And if you do, if you don't get that smirk off your face, you're getting out of here. Do you understand, Linda? One down from you. Get the smirk off. You're not funny. You're going to end up, girl. Get out of here. Linda, get her out of here. Get her out of. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the cool one right there. Just get up and take her out of here. You say you're being mean. No, I'm not. I love her more than probably anybody. You say you don't even know her. I love her more than anybody, if I'm going to be honest. People aren't honest. They let their kids grow up, go to the devil. Then they sit in church. They get kicked out of school. They sit in church and smirk. I'm not in the mood. Wives, you can listen too. As I describe what a man should be, there's no doubt that you can find your place in the home also. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just would ask that you'd help us to be serious. It breaks my heart. I know we have visitors here, and they, I'm sure, think I'm mean because of what I just did. But Lord, we pray and we work and we give and we do everything we possibly can, and nothing happens. Lord, I pray that you'd wake some parents up and understand that the same thing's going to happen to their children if they don't have a father that'll do what's right. Lord, lead me in what I have to say and speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. The man is somebody. I thank God for good women. My mother was saved when I was a boy. She was a very young Christian then, of course, as I was growing up. But I can say she did the very best that she could. And she loved me as much as any mother could. And I praise God for Christian mother. My father, again, saved when I was older. But I praise God for parents that did what they could do. My wife, I think, could be the very definition of what I'm preaching about as far as a woman, a wife, and a mother. I praise God for good women. This church, so much of it, we couldn't accomplish without good women. As the Bible teaches, men are in the pulpit, not women preaching. Men take the lead in our church, not women. But if you go down the office, and it's quite a large office, we have quite a few women. The workings, I talked about the little things, the little wheels keep the big wheels going. If it wasn't for, there's a lot of women down there doing a lot of important work. Whether it be the Christian school or Sunday school, majority are women. Singing, just as we saw here tonight, playing instruments, the majority is accomplished by women. And women are also good soul winners in our church, prayer warriors. Yet God's inspired word tells us that man is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. I wish we would believe the Bible, men. I wish we would take our responsibility. I say it all the time, but we allow our personalities to enter into our life too much. The way we were raised, the temperament we have. When in reality, it should be the Bible totally. And if the Bible were used as our guidebook, we'd have much better families. The first thing I want to point out tonight is that the man is in the image of God in the home. God's plan is for each man to be the high priest. That doesn't mean you strut yourself, and it doesn't mean you talk about what you are. It means you're the high priest. You're to be God's chief representative in the home. The Bible teaches that you are to rule the home for God. That's not my words. That's the Bible. And yet we have such weak men. And because of that, we have weak families. Whereas Christians, we're to think of God as our Father. And this is the best illustration Jesus could give us of what God is like to a Christian. Do you understand what I just said? He's our Father. And we as fathers should be representatives of God. We should be illustrations of God. God is all wise, infinitely strong, infinitely good. Every child should look to his father as being the wisest, best, strongest person he knows. His dad. Not his coach, not his teacher, but dad. Now, we all know that, excuse me, can only preach one strong sermon. That's old age. One strong sermon a day. But we know that on television and sitcoms and advertisements, men today are considered wimps. They're shown as wimps. They're forcing it upon us today. Whether it's in the schools or television or our government, they think, Obama thinks he's our daddy. But God's our father. And as we look to God for food, as we look to God for protection and satisfaction, as we look to God for the very breath we breathe. So every child in this room should look to his father for provision. Again, not to the welfare. For protection. For guidance. For joy. What a great responsibility we as fathers have in the image of God. I still have a reverence for my father. He's been dead now, I guess, for a good 20 years. But I remember as a boy how I trusted him. If he said something was right, it was right. And if he said something was wrong, it was wrong. As I got into high school, especially up into further years, maybe 17, 18 years old, I can remember thinking, hearing something different in the history class or something. And I'd come home and I'd say, "Dad, you're wrong here." Whoa. Was I sorry to tell my dad he was wrong. And by the way, he was right. He was right. I also remember if he said no, it was no. You got that, Dad? If you can get nothing else down in your life, if you say no, it ought to be no. I praise God for a wife that doesn't whine and think I'm too hard. But even if you have one of those whiners, it doesn't make any difference. God leads you, not your wife. And if God leads you to say no, it's no. It's just another reason to make sure you're right with God. I thank God for the way He punished my sins. Now again, the welfare wouldn't like this. Half of you wouldn't like it. Because He didn't kiss me behind the ear before and after. And by the way, He didn't pray with me either. He spanked me. Now I just thought, CNN is going to get this. Hey CNN, He spanked me. And He spanked me hard. And I knew He was mad. He wasn't nasty. He loved me. So many today think if you discipline hard, your children won't love you. I don't know how ignorant you can be. Look around the world. Read your Bible. The less you discipline, the less they're going to love you. If you train them up or treat them as though they're not your own, they're going to treat you as though you're not their own. It's not the one that was just let go that's going to take care of their parents in their old age. It's the one that was disciplined. And I've said this over and over again. I don't know how a father could be a stronger disciplinarian. And on the other hand, I don't know how a son could love his father anymore. I love his memory. Today, and for decades, people have talked about a generation gap. And the psychiatrists and sociologists say there's a generation gap, and that's bad. No, there's not enough of a generation gap. My father was up here, and I was down here. You understand? He was the head of the home, and I was the head of the home. The better the father, the better image of God he is to the family. You let him get by with sin, father, and he is going to continually be trying to get by with sin as he lives. Turn to Ephesians 5. The scripture also says, a husband is like Christ. First, the image of God the Father, and now the husband in the home is to be to his wife as Christ is to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As Christ is the head of the church, so the man is to be the head of the wife. And the Scripture goes on to say he's the Savior of the body. You got that, man? How about you, women? Do you believe the Bible? Then quit whining. He is to be the head of the home, even as Christ is the head of the church. Can you wake up? Is Christ the head of this church? Amen. Then in the same way, the Bible says, you are to be the head of the home. You're to be the provider. You're to be the protector. You're to be the deliverer. What a good man we should be as a father in the image of God. And how just and morally clean and spiritually wise we should be. How serious we ought to take our wife in the image of Christ. She's to be subject. And you say, you're just beating your chest? No, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching God's Word. She's to be subject as unto the Lord. It's a simple matter to win children to the Lord if you are right. It isn't the impossible feat to raise children even today if you follow His plan. And that's what's wrong. Men are lazy. Men follow their wives. It's my estimation that at least one half of you men who I'm looking at right now follow your wife instead of leading your family. And you wonder what's wrong with your kids. You wonder why you have to say the school has a problem or the youth group has a problem. You have a problem. And you're making excuses. Men, you take a strong scriptural stand in your home and don't worry about the world's ideas. Again, you might think that I am harping too much on this, but I am convinced that they are after us. When you say they, I'm talking about the world, the Obamas of this world. The Anderson Coopers of this world, CBS, ABC, somebody said, I think it was Pastor Dameron, they're the bullies of this world. They're out here trying to ensure us not to make sure we don't do what we say we believe. Man is to rule the home. God said to Eve, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, if you're a woman here and you don't like what I'm saying, then you're not right with God. It's as simple as that. If you're right with God, you like what I'm saying because it's been proven. You know it works. When Adam didn't do what he was supposed to do, what happened to the world? It fell into sin for eternity. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 23, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This doesn't mean slavery. If a government is right, it's of God. The alternative to government, say, is anarchy and chaos. It's not slavery to have a president. I wish we had a better one. But it's not slavery to have a Congress. I wish we had a better Congress. And I could go down the line. It's not slavery to have a governor and mayors and police. It's not slavery to have school teachers that have authority. Look at what happens when they don't have authority. People don't learn. It's not slavery to have a pastor that's the head of the church. They're needed for law and order. So the home needs a head for order. The biggest problem today is kids are not taught respect. I'm talking about our kids. I'm not saying none of our kids are taught respect, but I'm saying half of our kids are not taught about authority in the home. And so they come and sit in church and smirk. And they can't take the smirk off, or they won't take the smirk off. Something's wrong, isn't there? Kids today get so rebellious. You parents, you're blind. It's because of a lack of authority being taught in the home. That's how people get in trouble with the law. A kid that's raised according to the Bible is not going to get in trouble with the law. Never have I seen a family honestly based on the Bible with real family problems. Never have I seen a family like that with delinquents. Never! Never have I seen a family like this end up in divorce. You always look at them and you see the best of respect and love for all its members. I've heard this over and over again about a good Christian family. Oh, how wonderful. But I disagree with his brutal methods. How wonderful. But I disagree with the Bible. You see, if a woman leads and women lead in at least half of the fundamental Baptist churches in our church, they're going to lead by what? Feeling, somebody said, and emotions. Women are feeling and women are emotions. Men are supposed to be logical. You notice I said supposed to be. We have a lot of women running around here that wear pants. You say, I thought you're against pants. Well, I am on women. Oh, I couldn't live with him. Well, I couldn't live with you either. How stupid. You're saying the Bible is lying. Wake up. Look around and you'll find it's true. Every family that goes strictly according to the Bible plan is one of the few happy families in America. I say again, wake up. Do an about face. Men, determine today that you are going to run your home in a way that's in accordance with God's Word. Turn to 1 Timothy 3. My favorite illustration of the results of not doing this is a guy by the name of Paul Witte. Some here still remember Paul Witte. If you walked into the church at that time, he could be many of you. Good guy, nice guy, lots of friends. Drove a bus, worked on bus on Saturday. Worked at work parties, knocked on doors. But he wouldn't rein his wife in. Guys. And I would talk to him. I would warn him. The more I talked to him, the more I warned him, the further he got away. And that's what happens. You hear me say, the vast majority of people who ever leave this church leave the church over the family. And they leave because I will come to them and I'll say, you're heading for trouble. And slowly he eased away. Till one day, headlines in the Chesterton paper, Paul Witte shot to death. The story told about how his son was carrying a shotgun and tripped. The gun went off. His father was laying on the couch sleeping. Killed him. I thought something was weird. Some time went by, if I'm recalling correctly, a couple of years went by. All of a sudden, big headlines. Paul Whitty wasn't accidentally killed, but Paul Whitty's wife, men, got his sons to kill him. And not only that, one son killed his father, other son killed his father's mother who lived there so that they could keep the Social Security check coming. Used a crossbow, shot her, cut her up and put her in a freezer. Men. The Paul Whitty was a man's man if you would meet him. A man's man. He's a wimp. And he ended up dead. And he ended his family in prison. Ended up his mother being killed because he was a wimp. A good, nice guy, Christian wimp. In 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5, we read, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Okay, this here is part of the stipulation for a pastor or a bishop. Now, in our churches today, independent Baptist churches, do we believe the Bible? Oh, amen, we believe the Bible. Amen, we believe the Bible. But what percentage of pastors do you think step down from the ministry when their child goes to the devil? And let me ask you this. Why do you think the Bible says they're supposed to step down when their child goes to the devil? It's pretty clear, isn't it? One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. This is why he should step down. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now I want to ask again. How many pastors raise their children for God? What percentage? 10%? If that. What percent step down when their children grow up to live for the devil? 10%? If that. You say, what are you getting at? The problem in our churches today is we don't believe the Bible enough to follow it. And the problem in this area is a problem with men. You go down further, I'm not going to read it. It has to do with deacons. It has the same stipulation. We determined early in our church history, if we only had one that qualified to be a deacon, we'd have one deacon. And so forth, two and whatever we have. In many churches, women are in the majority. They're easier to lead. At least they used to be. They have more time. They do more of the routine of the church. So people think that they're more spiritual. And it may be true, but it shouldn't be. I'm not trying to put down women. And we have some very spiritual women in this church. But no woman should be more spiritual than their husband. You get that, men? If they are, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Again, this is a big problem in the church because the women run most churches. Long time ago, we came to the conclusion if this church was going to move forward, it's going to be moving forward with male leadership. Now, God intends for the man to set the standards and set the pattern for the home. That's what Joshua was doing when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Used to have signs like that in homes. I haven't seen one for a long time. Now it's home sweet home, if anything. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Of course, my wife and I discuss decisions. But she'll tell you, I don't follow her. If there's anything that scares me is for a man to say in public, especially, honey, what do you think? You, father, are to be the example. Don't let the school teacher be the example. If you don't want him to grow up and be on Skid Row, don't watch television. Don't own a television. Because believe me, it promotes booze. You don't want him to be a homo? Don't have a television. Because believe me, it promotes being a queer. If you don't want him to be an adulterer, don't tell off-color stories. Go all the way. Be the perfect example, and I'll guarantee you good children. Again, my father was saved when I was 6 years old. But I can still remember his foul mouth. It was the hardest thing for him to break. And so as a boy, maybe 7 years old, sometime I thought it was pretty big to let out an oath. But as he grew in the Lord, and he grew pretty quickly, he was never a deacon. I never heard him say a word publicly. I don't mean he grew in that way. But he grew strong. You get that, men? Some people think talking makes you a good Christian. I say again, I've never heard my father speak publicly. He was about as shy a guy as I could ever find. But he was the best example that I had. He is the reason that I'm in church. I didn't say he's the reason I'm a pastor. But I, like so many, went through rocky times, times nobody knew about, when I really considered this thing. And my father was the example that made me stay walking with the Lord. Because my father, I knew, was real. I knew what he said he believed. Now, we not only went to Sunday school, but we got there an hour early to set up all the chairs. That was the Vogland boys' job. And we not only went to church and Sunday night church, but we knocked on doors between morning and Sunday night. If there was a revival service, of course, we were there every time the doors were open. I would be afraid to ask my father if we were going to go to church. We were going to church. My dad was in charge. It was understood that we would be ready with our shoes shined, our hair combed, our offering ready, and nobody stayed home to cook. Nobody stayed home because there was company. Nobody stayed home to take care of the babies. As my father was the head of the home, I was taught, not by words, but by action, that I should be the head of the home. Pastor or no pastor, I was going to be in church. Now, don't say it's impossible to rear kids today. Don't say it's a chance. Don't think we can only do our best. That's of the devil. You'll have a Bible family if you only follow the Bible. And that's the man's responsibility. You got that, young man, newly married? That's your responsibility. I know things are different now. You're supposed to talk it over, hug and kiss, and make the decision. Show me that in the Bible. It's a fantastic responsibility. It's enough to scare any man when he realizes what God expects of them. When a home is not a Bible kind of home, the husband should take the blame. The wife, the children have their parts and should help. Yet the burden of the family is on the shoulders of the man. After man sinned and God came to the Garden of Eden, he called Adam. Adam, where art thou, Adam? Who led in that sin? Eve. But who did he call for? Adam. In Numbers 30, we're shown that the woman's duty to God is controlled by her husband. If you'd like to turn to Numbers 30. He could set aside any vow or establish it. He was then accountable for her sin. Numbers 30, verse 13, it says, every vow and every binding oath to affect the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establish all her vows and all her bonds which are upon her. He confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he shall anyways make them void, after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. You get that? Man is to be the head of the home. Man. See, my wife is so sweet and I love her. Good. Be a man. Be a Bible man. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. As you're turning, I'd point out that 1 Peter 3:1 shows that a wife is to be subject to an unsaved husband. Again, in Ephesians 5:22 and 24, wives are to be subject to their husbands as unto the Lord and in everything. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, Paul says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, silly people say, well, then women shouldn't sing. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about teaching. It's talking about making statements. God has plainly commanded you men to lead. You're responsible whether you want to be or not. Now turn to Proverbs 22:6. Of course, you hear me quote this over and over again. And I'm just sick hearing the excuses given even by preachers that you can't raise children right today. It doesn't change the fact that the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you think I was ever tempted not to preach that? You see, if a guy preaches that, his kids usually go bad after he's been in the ministry 20 years or so. It's hard to get a different profession once you're old. It's hard. And the churches always say, oh, we love you, preacher. We don't want you to go. We love you. In fact, today, pastors will leave their wife and marry some woman, and the church will say, we love you. We don't want you to go. And he stays. He doesn't believe the Bible he preaches. I'm the first one to admit that I was tempted to water things down and back down some and not preach it as hard. But that would be a lack of faith. And so I forced myself to preach it hard and loud and vehement, which in turn would force me to be the father I ought to be. My kids turn out perfect? Of course not. No kids turn out perfect. They never came close to disqualifying me, and I'm sure that if I watered it down, they would have. Turn to Joshua. Children are to obey. We have a great example of the place a man should have in Joshua. Joshua 24:1, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God." He gathered all the heads of the families and the officers, and he had a great address. And he showed them how God brought them out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land. And then the climax is in verse 15 where it says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I love it. Some of them worship the gods of Egypt. He said, you choose. You want the gods of Egypt? You serve them. Some worship the gods in the land that they had taken over. He said, you choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, he was speaking for himself. He was speaking for his wife, and he was speaking for his children. They will serve the Lord. And I'll tell you, that's what our country needs. That's what our church needs. Not mouths, but strong men. You choose for yourselves, but my family, they're going to be a Bible family. I'm going to shoulder my responsibility. I'm going to teach my family. I'm going to guide my family. I'm going to discipline my family. Problem is that we have too many Elis. The sons of Eli, the priests of God, knew not God. As you read the Bible, they were covetous. They were adulterers. Eli knew, and the Bible says that he rebuked them lightly. He tried to look the other way. Tried to hope it would turn out. But he wouldn't put a stop to it. Turn to 1 Samuel 3. Eli, to me, is the picture of the typical Christian parent. They're afraid of the consequences. What about the fear of not obeying God? So the Lord cursed Eli. And he will curse you if you don't obey him. In 1 Samuel 3:12, it says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning this house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Do you want that? See, my kids are doing pretty good. Don't blame God. That's the thing that gets me about people who say, well, you know, look at so-and-so, they were good Christians. No, they weren't. Not if their kids turn out bad. No, they weren't. God wants strong men, not weaklings. You represent God in the home as a high priest. The blame for broken homes, untrained and undisciplined children, immorally dressed wives and girls, all the evils of the day that creep into our home, all the blame lies at the feet of their father. Weakling men, quitters, not willing to take the weight of being a man. They'd rather listen to some commentator on television than the Bible. If your home is wrong, you're wrong. If your daughter or son becomes immoral, it's because you let them watch immorality on television, hang with questionable. That's the thing I can see. I don't see your living room, but I see who you let your kids hang with. I'll say again, I made an announcement when my kids were teenagers that they were not going to hang with questionable kids. I didn't care if they quit the church. They weren't going to hang with them. And that's what you should do. You don't have to be mean. You just tell your kids who to hang with. And you don't let them watch television. And you don't let, you know, it's unbelievable to me. Your daughter's reading some love book and they say, well, it's a Christian love book. Christian love book? Christian love book? You're cracked. This will cause your family to be destroyed. And you'll be, what happened? I love God. I was in a good church. I put him in a Christian school. What happened? They had a weak father. A weak father. Men, God's standards are high. The great honor of husband and father comes with a great responsibility. Now, I've got one more point. And it's a short one. Turn back to Ephesians. In the same scripture where God commanded the woman to be subject to her husband in everything, he commanded husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. My wife always points out that I get to the love part when time's up. But Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Does that mean you follow your wife? Of course not. It's a balance. And let me say, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, if she is any decent Christian woman, she'll be glad to follow. There's two sides to it. I don't blame the woman at all like I blame men. I believe most women in this church would love to be married to a Bible man like I describe. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And isn't that true? You love your wife and you have a good life. She loves you. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And some of you guys like that. Colossians 3:19 says basically the same thing. Turn to Matthew. Husband, love your wife as your own self, unselfishly, as Christ loved the church. You're to cleave to your wife. 19:5. Jesus said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Cleave to your wife. One flesh. And how thankful we as men should be if we have a good, loving, faithful wife. It's up to you. It's my opinion. I use statistics too much, but it's my opinion. As I look out at you young guys, it's up to you. Now, you could have made a huge mistake and married some total rebel. But in most cases, you get married as a young couple, it's up to you, men. It's up to you to lead. It's up to you to be strong. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. When a husband truly loves his wife and children, he'll be the leader. It'll be a Bible home, and the home will not be broken. It's up to you. You say, I'm weak, become strong. It's up to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord.